Welcome to episode number 5 of the Builder's Diary by Cloudonaute. Get insights into the day-to-day challenges of builders. In this episode, Sami Raba from our partner Demicon shares insights into ECS Anywhere, a hybrid cloud approach for containers. Our partner Demicon is growing their cloud division and is therefore hiring a senior lead cloud solution architect, AWS. Demicon is an advanced AWS consulting partner and remote-first company located in Germany. Bring your expertise on infrastructure as code, continuous deployment, and containers to a dedicated team and exciting projects. Check the show notes or video descriptions for details and apply today. I'm very excited to introduce Samia Raba to the show. After graduating with a master's degree in machine learning, Samia started her career as a Python developer. Later, she joined Common as a full-stack developer as part of their data science team. In July 2022, Samia took her career in a new direction. She joined Demicon as a DevOps and cloud consultant. Welcome to the show, Samia.
Hello, Andreas. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to share my knowledge about my experience at Demicon and also about ECS Anywhere. And yeah, looking forward to our session.
Yeah, perfect. I'm very excited about that. So before we start into our topic, ECS Anywhere, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and your career. So the first question that came to my mind, you transitioned from a full stack developer to a DevOps and cloud consultant. That's a little bit the same background that I have. I've also started as a developer and then turned into a consultant. So I was wondering, what was your main motivation for that career change?
Yeah, that's a good question. So obviously, I never imagined I would go into the direction of cloud consultancy. But when I was working as a software developer, I was exposed to using AWS cloud services. So either you want it or you do not. You have to deal with check-in logs, deploying from time to time. So that was my baby steps into the cloud area. And I thought that I wanted to explore it more. And yeah, that's where Demicon came into the picture and I changed path.
Okay, yeah, that's fun. So I think that's really cool. So you actually got to know AWS and then you decided to go full into that topic. And basically being a consultant really helps to dive into a topic because you see new projects constantly. Exactly. And new situations and you learn a lot by doing so. Yeah, very cool. Congratulations on that. So you already mentioned that you have been using AWS before. So my next question is, so how did the onboarding experience at Demicon feel like? So how did you get into your new role there?
Yeah, that's also a good question. I had an experience on working with AWS services, but I never made it official. So because I was just doing it on the side. And when I first joined Demicon, I was discussing with my manager and then we thought, okay, maybe I should take my certificate and be certified. And this is the first thing I did when I joined Demicon. It was part of my onboarding process. I had the opportunity to pass the AWS Certificate Developer Associate exam. And now I'm preparing also for the professional. At Demicon, they empower us into learning more and also taking as much as possible of certificates.
Demicon is a remote-first company. And personally, I never onboarded a remote company. So can you take me into that? So how did it happen? How did you meet your colleagues for the first time? How did you get to know everyone? So how does that work in a remote company?
Yeah, exactly. I was a little bit skeptical before joining because I didn't imagine how am I going to dive into everything without any real life connection. But Demicon, I think they worked hard into documenting processes and there is basically a process for everything. And also they facilitate the onboarding phase even before joining so you can have all your equipment before. So my first day, I had everything ready. I was ready to go. And also part of the onboarding, they have the welcome day where you meet all the new joinings and We have the buddy program where you, where you have the chance to have a mentor. You can talk about your experience at DemiCon, what you need, what you do not need. And when it comes to the team, we are trying to meet as much as possible. Beside working remotely, we have the work together weeks. We do workshops on site from time to time. So, I would say it's been nice and smooth.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of thought has gone into that onboarding experience for new members of the team in a remote company. So you mentioned a very structured onboarding process and remote meetings, but then also you get to know some of your colleagues in person, and yeah, that's a very good way to get into everything. In my experience, I don't know if it was the same for you, but for me, when transitioning from a developer that was working on projects inside the company to being a consultant, which is by definition exposed to the clients and interacting with them, for me at least, it was a big challenge because I think it's a little difficult, at least for me, to earn the trust in the new project and to be self-confident and stuff like that. So how did that happen for you? How did you grow into the role of a consultant at DemiCon?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's exactly transitioning from working only one project to working with multiple customers or different projects is a little bit challenging, but it's at the same time exciting because you learn a lot in the process. Every time you are exposed to a new problem, new solution, and eventually new stack of technologies and services, I'm so grateful to Rico, my manager, because he was also always there for supporting me about what I need and for directing me into the right direction. Like always, how you can communicate with customers, how you can establish specific requirements, not go out of the scope, and deliver exactly what the customer needs. So yeah, slowly I was able to juggle topics and yeah, get into my role. I'm so happy about it.
Okay, so you were not completely thrown into cold water, but you had support from your manager and your colleagues, started with smaller projects and then grew step by step.
Exactly. So it's not like you are all on your own. So we have these meetings where we align with the customer, the requirement, what they expect from us. And then always we have to, we have our internal meetings where we can discuss solution, what's best for the customer, how we are going to implement it, who is going to do what. And obviously during these meetings, we discuss what I need from which areas I need support and how I can deliver the product to the customer with a high quality.
Thanks a lot for sharing insights into your career and into how things work at DemiCon. I think that's interesting for others who think about transitioning or make a transition in their career. But I think it's now time that we dive into the topic that everyone is so interested in, and especially me, because I don't know nothing about the topic yet. So I'm really happy to have you here. So we are talking about ECS Anywhere. And the first question I have, so what was the challenge you faced in the project that that you ended up with using ECS Anywhere for? So what was the situation like?
Yeah, so the situation is our customer had GPU machines or nodes. They were on their on-premises and they were already using ECS cluster. But at the same time, they wanted to use their resources and the machines that they were not being in use. ECS Anywhere is just an extension of ECS to basically to orchestrate containers on premises. That was a good approach for our solution. So we had to set up a cluster where we can use ECS Anywhere on premises and also in the cloud, because you have the possibility to use it fully on premises. Also, you can use a hybrid model where you can use the containers on-prem, and then you can burst into the cloud instances. So that was a perfect, that was a perfect combination.
Okay. So the workload was already running on ECS, but then your client realized they have resources on-prem that they already paid for. So the machines were already there and they wanted to use them. And this was why they were thinking about that hybrid solution. And can you share just a very brief overview, but what was the workload about that we are talking here? So what is running in this cluster?
Yeah, so it's a classic case of batch processing, where there is an API, and then the API is writing jobs to an EFS file system, Elastic File System on AWS, and then the cluster needs to access the EFS and then retrieve the jobs that needs to be processed. There is a scheduler in between, a Lambda function, and then basically it will just place the task on containers, either on-prem or on the cloud. We can talk more about it on how.
Yeah, we should. So the overall picture is you have a more relatively small API layer, and then the big part, the compute heavy part, is basically the batch processing that happens in the cluster. And ECS is responsible for spinning up those containers, those tasks,
and orchestration.
Basically orchestrate the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm personally a very big fan of ECS.
I'm using aren't it we all? Yeah.
but I also know that especially on-prem, Kubernetes is a very very widespread solution to similar issues. So can you share some insights into the thought process why you ended up with ECS Anywhere, not just run, I don't know, Kubernetes on-prem?
So EKS Anywhere is also available, but as we we know that EKS is a little bit complicated, and it's also required for big use cases. Our use case didn't require a huge cluster, and also reason we were already using ECS cluster, so it was just convenient to transition to using the same cluster, just with more capabilities to support external instances. So that's why.
That makes sense. Yeah, and it's a very seems like a very simple solution. You can just extend it to on-prem.
Yeah.
So so you mentioned that you can basically combine Fargate, EC2, and on-prem in one cluster, and then just spin up your containers on one of those. So how do you configure basically where the containers are running, or is that something the cluster takes care of automatically, or how does that work?
So the good thing about ECS Anywhere is it's not limited. Like you can have a cluster where everything, all types of instances are running and coexisting together. It's just about the configuration of your task definition. You have to provide the required capabilities. You can provide EC2 or external, which is our case, the on-prem instances of Fargate.
So basically it is in the task definition is where you configure, is this task capable to run on, I don't know, Fargate or on-prem and something?
When it comes to what do you want exactly, you need to have a scheduler in place to say, okay, I want this job to go on-prem, I want this job to, and obviously, you know that task definitions, they also have the feature of task placement and also a placement constraint. And with placement constraint, you can have attributes to just say, okay, I want to run on EC2.external, or I want, you can also set up your custom attributes to also use specific machines, like specific machine with a specific GPU capability, which is, I think it's very, it is very useful.
Okay. So you can really configure in a very fine granular way where a container should be launched and stuff.
Exactly.
Like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool. And so the next thing in my mind, so whenever I run containers in a cluster, I'm having a hard time with monitoring and logging. So how does that work with ECS Anywhere? Is there a way to monitor and log, or basically get the log messages from those containers as well?
Yeah. You can do that. So the thing about ECS Anywhere that might put people a little bit on hold, and they're like, we don't want to use it because it doesn't support many things, but it supports basically everything from, it's just an extension of ECS, and obviously you can configure your AWS log driver, or also not an AWS, any log driver that you want, and you need to have your log group in place. And it is important to have logs, otherwise you wouldn't have no idea on what's going on-prem.
Okay, so that means I can configure it in a way that the logs end up in a CloudWatch log group, like I do with Fargate?
Exactly. Just the task role need to allow having basically the IAM need to have logs permission, but it is possible.
Okay, so it even gets better. I not only can use the AWS logs driver, I can also use IAM roles for my tasks.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
Okay.
because the instance that is registered, it's considered as a managed instance by the AWS System Manager. And once it's registered, it's basically attached to an IAM role. And this role enables the instance to communicate with AWS services.
Ah, so I can use my task role and attach the containers in IAM role like I do with EC2 or
Exactly.
Fargate. That's really two important aspects of EC2 Anywhere, at least from what I understand, because I have logs, I have my IAM role. So but you mentioned that a few things are not supported with EC2 Anywhere. So what are the missing parts that you need to be aware of?
Some services are not supported. Like load balancer, you can't have load balancer, and also access to Elastic File System, and as well capacity provider. You can't have a capacity provider on-prem. But this is just not categorically. No, you cannot. You can use the services, but you need to set up basically AWS VPN, or you need to have a VPN connection.
Okay, so that means I cannot register those tasks at an ALB automatically, but I could maybe work around that by setting up a VPN or direct connect and then forwarding to those IP addresses or something. And that's probably the same with EFS. So there's not that native integration into ECS, but I can still access EFS over, for example, the VPN connection.
This is what I mentioned at the beginning. Our use case involved an EFS, and we had to go through setting up a VPN, a site-to-site VPN connection. And EFS will be just considered as the network file system that you can mount. Once the VPN is already there, you just need to configure your security group to allow access from your private local network. And then you can just have it as a volume to your container instance.
Okay, so basically, that means that as it doesn't support load balancing, that's not a big issue in your scenario, I imagine, because you mentioned that the most, the critical part of the workload is basically batch processing, which does not require any incoming requests. And do you then run the API layer? Do you run that on Fargate or EC2 for being able to register the load balancer? How does that work?
Yeah, the API is running fully on the cloud, you know. It's
Okay.
it's on an EC2 instance, and it's running behind a load balancer, but it's completely independent from the execution of task on the container instances. It's very decoupled. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So that means ECS Anywhere is a perfect fit for any kind of batch processing where you just schedule a task in the cluster and orchestrate them. So when I want to start using ECS right now, so somehow I need to configure my on-prem machine. So can you share some learnings about how do you basically get your on-prem machine into the cluster? So what's needed? What are the requirements?
Yeah, so it's very straightforward, to be honest. You need to have the SSM agent because, as I said, the instances need to be considered as managed instances of AWS. And for that, AWS System Manager need to communicate with the SSM agent, send request for registering the node. It doesn't have to be a node, it can be also be a virtual machine because ECS can run on bare metal or can run on also virtual machines. So you need to have the to install the script of ECS Anywhere, which will have the ECS agent and the SSM agent. So we mentioned that SSM agent with AWS System Manager will ensure having this IAM credentials that they will be attached to our instance, to also secure the connection between the ECS agent and the control plane. ECS control plane on the cloud. So these are the components basically that you need to have to configure. You need the SSM agent, ECS agent. There's a script for installing. While registering the instance, you need a hybrid activation key, and you can generate the key from the AWS console, or you can also generate it through the command line. The activation key will enable the instance to be registered, and also will enable the SSM agent to connect to communicate with the AWS System Manager. Once the instance is registered, you can see it. You can already see it in the cluster. It will have a prefix of MI as managed instance on the cloud, And once it's registered, there is an IAM role that's attached to the instance that will enable it to communicate with AWS services. So you will need a cloud connectivity between the ECS agent and the ECS control plane. Otherwise, you cannot send back the health check of the container or the insight of what's going on. So you need connectivity between, you need stable connection between, between the ECS control plane and the ECS agent. And the ECS agent will be running on a separate Docker container. So you can always check the log, see if your IAM credentials are still valid. So I hope I covered everything.
Yeah, so basically I need my operating system, and then there's a package from AWS that I install, including mm-hmm. the ECS agent and the SSM agent. Mm-hmm. And the ECS agent is just a Docker container. So I assume I need to install Docker as well. I'm good to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. So you need a layer, like the lowest layer, which is SSM agent. And then the second layer, you need ECS agent and Docker. Mm-hmm. And then the third layer, obviously, your container instances.
Okay. So that sounds cool. So basically, the tasks are running on ECS, and they're running mm-hmm. partly in the cloud, partly on-prem. And my next question is, so how do you make sure that a task is scheduled on the right instances? So mm-hmm. how is that implemented?
Yeah. So we have a Lambda scheduler, and then the Lambda scheduler receive event from an SQS. And then from the event, we can check the, we have a way on checking if this job, basically from the message, if this job should go on-prem or should go on an EC2 instance on the cloud. And because we have some jobs that they are critical and then they need to be running on GPUs, these jobs, they are prioritized to run on the on-prem instances, right? And yeah, for that, you have also to customize the task definition to have support of GPUs. And also you have to have ECS anywhere with GPU enabled. Otherwise your container instance won't be able to run on the GPUs.
Okay. So if my container needs access to the GPU, I need to configure that as with a special configuration on the machine itself. Is it then the agent that needs that configuration, or how do I?
Yeah. This is actually very important because mm-hmm. many people, I personally missed it at the beginning. It happens at the installation time. So when you install ECS anywhere, there is a flag that needs to be true. It's enabled GPU needs to be true. Otherwise your GPUs, they won't be exposed to the container instance. There is also another configuration that happens on the ECS agent level. On the machine, you need to have this configuration of environment variable, of having NVIDIA GPUs also visible, and also to have the enable ECS GPU. The flag should be true. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you cannot do that. And one more thing is this is on the ECS anywhere level during installation, and also on the task definition level. You need to have a property on the container definition of resource requirement. That's okay. You say, okay, this task definition will use GPU number 1 or 2, or I don't know. It depends on your use case.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so then basically, the container knows that it needs the GPU, and also ECS knows that this instance has a GPU available, and the agent is capable to basically forward the communication to the GPU. Okay. Yeah. Basically, with that project and with building the solution by using ECS anywhere, so did you encounter any unexpected issues, or was using ECS anywhere more or less flawless for you?
Obviously, there are always issues. So there are things that you just learn in the process of adjusting the task IAM role, or for example, the activation key, you have to be careful with the expiration time, because the default, I think, is just 1 day. So if you need your registered instance to be running for longer than a certain period, you have to adjust that. Otherwise, it would just disappear from the console, from the ECS cluster, and you wouldn't even know why it's not there. The configuration of logs is important. It's the only way to know what's happening with your task, because tasks, sometimes they are just stopped and you wouldn't know why. So it is important. Something else is the operating the support of operating systems of ECS Anywhere. You have to check the requirement of ECS Anywhere. For example, in our case, we were using distribution of Ubuntu of 22, and it was not support. And we realized that after we finished the installation, that only Ubuntu 20 is supported. So always check the requirement before diving in.
So that sounds like a really, really interesting solution. I've never used it anywhere, but it sounds like a very interesting approach for splitting your workload between the cloud and on-prem.
Yeah.
And as you have to basically you have the same interface. So ECS is basically the way you configure everything, and then you can just decide where to run it. So that seems to be a really simple
Yeah.
but still very powerful
Yeah.
solution.
It's also a valid use case for running everything on-prem, because there are use cases where you need data to be close to the where the application is processed. For example, people who are running on edge devices. And then you can't afford having a high latency because you need a quick response, or you need a high bandwidth or whatever. So for these use cases, they go completely by using ECS cluster and using only external instances. They don't run their instances on the cloud at all. So this is also valid for ECS Anywhere.
But basically, the only downside that we have really when we think about use cases is the networking limitation. So we don't have that tight integration with the load balancer and stuff like that, which is for many use cases important. But
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that other than that,
And also, you can't use the AWS VPC network, obviously.
of course, yeah.
Yeah, so you can use only your host network or the bridge mode if you want to have a virtual layer on your containers. So
Yeah.
this is also should be taken into consideration when you write your task definition that AWS VPC is not supported.
Okay. And so one more question about, so how did you bring that into action? So did you use infrastructure as code or any tool, or how did you basically deploy all of that?
So obviously at Demicon we are a huge fans of infrastructure as code. Everything is we support two frameworks, CDK and Terraform, and then it just depends on our customer. So all the implementation was done with Terraform, and obviously because ECS Anywhere is also compatible with external third parties services, so you can write your for example the generation of the activation key that I mentioned earlier. You can do it with Terraform. Also writing the SSM agent role and all what's related to the task definition, everything we did with through Terraform.
So that means your even the on-prem instances are managed with Terraform.
Yeah, the generation, I mean the generation of the key, and also the role, that's something that you can write in code, right? So this is something we did through Terraform. And the activation key and the activation code, you can always save it on the SSM parameter or on AWS Secret Manager. I know.
And then
So
it's very, very convenient to get that to
to
basically
retrieve them,
enroll
exactly.
the
Yeah.
instance.
And then automate the whole process of the key used when you register the instance.
So thank you a lot, Samia, for sharing your insights into ECS Anywhere and how you get that to work and to success at your client project. So I think we should mention one more time that Demicron is growing the cloud division that you are part of and is therefore hiring, for example, a senior lead cloud solution architect, AWS. So if you want to join the team of Samia to build solutions on AWS with infrastructure as code, continuous deployment, automation, containers, and so on, then you should definitely check out the show notes or the video descriptions for details and apply today. Thank you very, very much, Samia, for coming to the show and sharing your knowledge, your insights. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and I learned a lot about ECS Anywhere.
Thanks, Andreas. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my experience and join DemiCon. We have very exciting project.
Cool. Yeah, you should do that. Thank you very
Yeah,
much. Thanks
thank
for
you.
listening, all of you. Bye.
Bye.